You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. In today's show, we have a special guest interview with AJ Garcia. AJ's story is nothing short of inspirational. He went from rubbing shoulders with celebrities as a high-flying marketing executive to finding himself staring at 25 to life. AJ shares how he developed his mindset while serving time and how he is now applying these same principles in his trading journey. Stick around because you do not want to miss this discussion. Hey, AJ, welcome to the show, brother. Can you give us a quick introduction, or rather give the audience a quick introduction about yourself?
Sure thing. My name is AJ Garcia, but most people know me as AJ Crooks. That's like my online alias, I'd say. I started out here in Los Angeles with marketing in the streetwear, fashion, you know, Fairfax kind of world, and I've been doing that along with design and now construction. And this year has been my first year now trading.
Awesome. How's the trading been so far this year?
A roller coaster. Just like the market, a roller coaster.
I love that you thought about it too. You're like, roller coaster is a good way to do it.
Bit of a roller coaster. But listen, guys, we've got AJ on here for a specific reason, because he's got a really inspiring, you know, story. He's been through, you know, what I wouldn't really wish upon anybody. And to be able to have come out of it and be in the spot that he is, I think is, you know, a huge note to himself as a person. And I think you guys are going to find a lot of inspiration and value from our conversation today.
Can I just mention one thing? AJ, like you in your intro, you mentioned your nickname. You know which one I love about yours when I looked at your profile? Carl Lagerfeld of the corner. Like that's that's fantastic. I love it. I love fashion and the corner. So these things mesh well in my industry. But yeah, I'm really excited about the show. And before we even begin, I want to just thank you before we get into it for, you know, opening up. And I think your story's got a lot of potential to inspire people. And, you know, whoever thinks, we all have adversity in our life that we go through, but I think this is a whole other level. And I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on the show and then opening up to talk about this with the hopes of inspiring other people. It's a very brave thing to do. And I appreciate you for coming on and getting vulnerable with us. It's one of the hardest things to do in this world.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate the opportunity with you guys. I'm real excited to do this too. Anybody that I can help, I mean, like you said, we all have our trials and tribulations that we go through. So just to know that we're not alone, that it's not selective, is helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like you just said, you know, when we're kind of going through certain things, you know, we'll discuss about your story, but also in trading, you know, a lot of the times we feel like the struggle that we're going through is unique to us, but having an avenue like this where you can share the stories, it becomes very very easy to see that, you know, a lot of the situations that we go through, it's a shared situation, right? You're not the only one that's in these kinds of situations. And regardless of where you are, you know, at some point in somebody else's journey, they were there too. And like Georgie said, I appreciate you coming in today, opening up with us, and hopefully getting some people inspired. So AJ, let's take this back. Couple of years here. You mentioned that over the last year you kind of started trading, but that's not where the story begins, right? So if you can, you know, during our chat before the before this call, we kind of spoke on where you were before, you know, before the day that everything changed. So can you kind of introduce the audience to, you know, what you were doing before, you know, the topic we're going to get on, and we'll take it from there?
Yeah, of course. So anybody who's familiar with Los Angeles, you know, it's one of the fashion capitals of the world. And music-wise, street culture-wise, it's real diverse. A lot has originated from this area. So streetwear is one of the cultures that came from Los Angeles. And now streetwear there's like a mecca of it, you could say, on the west side of LA on Fairfax Boulevard. I was a part of Crooks and Castles, which is one of the biggest names in streetwear that broke down like a lot of doors, got into a lot of places that they said that these kind of companies wouldn't be able to get to. So my role in that company was marketing. So I handled product placement, brand awareness, seeding, and my network for who I worked with, like on a day-to-day or throughout my career, is pretty much like, I don't know, like a Grammys list. Like anybody that you could think of. From athletes, like I've set up events and pop-ups in like Hawaii for the Pro Bowl. I've done things on All-Star Weekend with Fabulous. And we've done like, I don't know, album listening parties with Jadakiss. Birthday parties. We hosted birthday parties for Drake. So any and all that had to do with entertainment and fashion that correlated, we were a part of it.
So you had what it sounds like, obviously, access to a good network, and it sounds like you were, you know, some would argue, you know, living dream life, right? Being a marketing executive at an up and coming company, you know, having a network of celebrities, you know, A-listers. And let's get into the day that things changed. Can you kind of speak on the situation around that and what it ultimately led to?
Yeah. So at this point in my life, I had just turned 21. So I was moving at a fast pace in this industry for myself. A lot of people were still in school to try to graduate to get to a position I was already, you know, running. And at that point, I was in school for architecture. I was starting in my career also in architecture, school-wise. And I had friends that were, you know, like upcoming DJs that worked with other people who are already in radio or producing. So I had one friend who invited me to an event he was throwing locally at a house. Now, I had stopped going to these kind of events just because of how busy I was and other things that I was pursuing. But this night, I made an exception and told my friend, okay, I'll meet you when you're done with this, you know, house gig, and we'll go have dinner tonight. We'll all eat late, go to In-N-Out or something. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with In-N-Out. And
And I've been there. Epic joint. I love it. Like
so good. So
yeah.
Good.
Every time I go to LA, I gain like an extra few pounds I shouldn't. And that place is responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody in like the West Coast, if they heard me like, okay, we went to go get like a late dinner, it's In-N-Out, they understand like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like that's what
yeah,
you do.
I get the
okay.
vibe. Totally.
Yeah. So I went to go meet somebody. What ends up happening is I show up to this house immediately, probably 5-10 minutes into arriving. I get into this large confrontation with people that I've never met, and everybody's acting really hostile, and just a lot's going on, and it escalates so quickly that I end up pretty much fighting with like half of the people at this party. And for no apparent reason. I don't know why. I tried to leave. I just got there. So there's no reason for it, in my understanding. And then that night, I end up catching a case, which I get my house raided by the SWAT team with, like, I'm talking about a helicopter, the SWAT team vans. It looked like Grand Theft Auto, like when you had all the stars.
Yeah.
And you're going crazy.
Wow.
They came to my house like that the next day and took me out. And they told me that I was going to, that my charge, I was facing 25 years with life.
25 to life, man. That's
wow. That's deep. Literally, life changes overnight at that point.
Overnight. From one day to the next. I went from having everything and like I couldn't wait to see, you know, what was going to be, you know, what's going to happen next year, to I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Yeah. That's deep, man. And you know, the one part you mentioned there too is that I wrote it down. I made an exception this one time. You know what I mean? Like, so much trouble in life happens with that statement. Like, I've, you know, following intuition and getting messages and then going against it. Like, I've learned that in trading as well. Like, you know, I'm more related to that on a trading level. It's like, you know, this one time I'm going to risk more. And like, you know, it's unfortunate how the event unfolded afterwards. So you go there with going from overnight having success, being a part of a company, not just any company, man, like Crooks and Castles is iconic in what it represents. So, you know, being on the forefront of that to now facing the prospect of, you know, 25 to life, even if it's just 25, if, you know, that's still life. If you think about it, like how much could happen that time. So just curious, like what from there, what was how what happened and then how did you get to where you are today?
So real quick, like you mentioned, going against your gut, 100%. I had that friend that invited me. He invited me early on in the day and I had texts and emails. And throughout the day, I kept telling him, no, I'm okay. I'm not interested. I'm not going to end up coming. So at the last like possible moment, I took the opportunity and I went against my gut feeling and you know, everything else came from it. So, definitely listen to your gut.
Yeah.
So what ended up coming was I'm faced with this case now, and I'm facing 25 years with life. I acquire lawyers. Everybody's telling me, you know, this isn't what's going to end up happening. They're going to give you a deal. You're going to face a lesser charge. This is just, you know, the beginning of things. It's not really as bad as it seems. But everyone quickly realized that wasn't the case. My deal that was offered by the state was still 25 years for life. Nobody was budging. The reason that I was being like pursued so harshly and given like no love, there was no understanding into my side of the situation, was somebody in law enforcement was involved on the other side.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty much I go to trial, which is unheard of because the conviction rate is 99% at the court I'm going to. I go to trial. I go against all odds. I have judges telling me that I'm going to do life in prison. And through the process, I go, I fight, I study with my lawyers. I meet with them as much as I can during the process. And I end up beating two of the life charges. I beat 25 with life and I beat 15 years with life. And I got convicted of a lesser charge. And I was given a midterm of 7 years.
So from staring at basically 25 to life, you know, you end up with seven. And I remember during our initial call, you kind of mentioned, I kind of want to take this back a little bit here. You mentioned that throughout that whole process, you know, you said that judges were telling you you're going to get 20, you're going to get life basically. But you also mentioned that a lot of your, you know, even your close friends and family were kind of writing you off from the start, right? Can you kind of speak on that and how, you know, you're able to maintain, you know, positivity throughout the situation that you're going through?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all experienced people around us exposing, you know, their true selves to us when we're not at our best. Yep. So,
beautiful way to put it. Quotable.
To put it lightly.
Exactly. So I definitely learned very quickly that not everybody was on my team. Not everybody was as hopeful as I was. And those were things that I was hearing. And I would hear them, you know, pretty much indirectly. They weren't directly to me, but I would hear like, oh man, he's going to get like 100 years, or man, this person did way less than him and is doing, you know, 50 years or 30 years. He's not getting away from that. And then I even had a family from my father's side that, they had mentioned to other family members, you know what? They were living so well. Everything was going so well for them. Something had to go wrong. Like pretty much they were waiting for the other shoe to drop. And they were like, Oh, and this is what it is. AJ's going away now. AJ's done.
Yeah.
It's crazy because it's like your family, but they're almost like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I definitely relate to being not on that level, obviously, but like to being not underestimated. Like, look, I think people sometimes, AJ, will communicate certain things that we hear, but they mean it from a good place. And like, it's taken me a long time to realize somebody out of their own fear could make something seem negative, but they mean it from a good intention. But when it comes from your family, sometimes it's disappointing, right? It's like, yeah. Go on guys, you're my support system here.
Yeah. Yeah. So same thing hearing that. And I think the same, I think, it's just people's lack of understanding or they just can't see it. Just like when somebody's successful and they say, you know, my family didn't believe in me because they couldn't see it for themselves. I think, you know, that was the reason these people said things like this. But my drive was just, I can't give up. I can't, you know, this is my life. And it was 25 with life. So it wasn't like, oh, I can take, I'm taking a minor setback. It was everything. So either I worked and I believed that it wasn't going to be the end for me, or I would just throw my hands up and give up. And I've never been the person to just give up. Even if it's going to be to the end of the game, to the end of, I used to be a boxer. So me and my father would always tell each other, like, this isn't the last round. Like, nah, get up. Okay, you got knocked down, get up. This isn't the last round. Let's go. So that was my mentality that, okay, I understand that people don't believe this is going to work out for me. The judge is telling me, but the judge is, you know, I don't care what the judge has to say. I don't care what a detective has to say. I have say so in this. I'm going to do everything I can and it's going to work out for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a super important mindset given, you know, all the negativity that was, you know, coming your way. And, you know, I'm kind of curious if we were to, you know, to fast forward, you know, once you do find yourself, you know, locked up, you know, we kind of mentioned, you told us that you took a couple of initiatives while you were locked up. And I think this is going to be something interesting for the audience to hear as far as, you know, what were you doing to kind of keep yourself motivated on, you know, the end goal while you were in there? You know, you mentioned you did a bunch of personal development, and what was kind of the goal of doing that while you were inside?
So, when I went away again, the negative talk comes into play. People, I had, my mother wrote to me and was scared because I had my mother's brother had went away and has been in out of jail the rest of his life. So she told me she was worried that this was it for me, that now I was going to be set into this life pattern like he was. And I would hear these kinds of things, like, you know, these people get strung out on drugs or they get involved in nothing but gangs and that's it. They're written off the rest of their life. So when I went in, my thing was, if I let something like that happen to me, then I didn't win by beating this 25-year sentence if my life is just ruined in the end from ending up here in prison for this temporary time. So I said, okay, every day I'm going to do anything I can to be better. And they're going to think that they sent me here and that I'm like ruining my life for these years, but they're not going to realize that my whole time here is going to be like a sabbatical. I talked to one of my little brothers and I told him, I'm like Batman when he went away to the mountain to train and like focus up and come back. I told him that's what I'm doing right now. I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm working out. I learned how to play like chess. I play chess on a regular, just things that I could do to develop myself, because I said, this isn't going to be the end of me. This isn't the end of my story. So self-improving, and this is all voluntarily. I went into anger management. I went into speaking courses. I got my associate's degree in math and science. I continued schooling after that, schooling that got me accepted into university. directly after being released. Just everything I could do to improve myself. Anything that it was. If it was like, I wouldn't read like fiction books, because I told my friends like, no, I need to read nonfiction. Like I need something that's going to like advance me. I don't care if I only take away a few lessons, like if it's a city or a country I never knew. Okay, now I upped my game. I know something else. Something just to grow. I was just looking for ways to keep growing.
In a way, AJ, you accomplished more in the 7 years. I'm sorry. Am I correct? Did you serve the full 7 years?
It was six and some change.
So yeah, like six and some change years. You know, the things that you accomplished in there, would like some people still don't, and they're free. You know, and so I think that's like a good judge of character for you, for like the kind of motivation and passion you have. And I just want to mention this because I had the pleasure of having a nice pre-call with you, and I've learned a lot more about your story. You know, a lot of the times with conversation like this, people's mind just want to go and make assumptions, right? Like, you know, with all due respect, somebody would say, oh, why, what happened? Why did he do it? Like they try to paint somebody in a corner because they're uncomfortable being in a place where they just don't know. And so like even talking with you in the pre-interview, you know, I think some things people wouldn't know about this as we record this episode is that you were trained with discipline how to be a fighter, right? You had a really successful career. You'd already defeated the odds that your parents were worried about. You know, you're in an area where you're doing really good for your life at such a young age. And with your story of being like, you know, multiple times being in a bad situation or multiple times somebody trying to do something while you're trying to get away, you know, I just think that it's not that far off from any one person being, you know, having the best career, the best job, having a great life, to being put in a situation where literally 1 second could change your life. You know what I mean? We like to think that, oh, that's them. This will never happen to us until you're in that situation. You know what I mean? And like, this is where I want to kind of give the listener some context there. You know, sometimes things like this happen out of freaking nowhere and they just take your life for a whole different detour. So I just want to say kudos to you for having the resilience and strength to throughout a prison term to go out there and just improve yourself. I love that you told your little brother for motivation, I'm going to the cave. I got to train. I love it.
yeah, definitely. And like you said, that's life. Life is really, anybody can be in that situation any day at any moment. Like if there's one thing I learned from being away, it was from encountering all these people and hearing multiple stories of like random scenarios. Like I was with somebody who, somebody broke into his home and he shot them in self-defense and he got like 12 years because they just railroaded him. He didn't get a lawyer. He thought he was totally in the right. So he's talked to the cops right away. And for whatever reason, they railroaded him. And he had a savings. He was a stand-up guy. And he's doing 12 years in prison for it. So anybody who thinks that, like,
it's a fine line,
I'm not living that lifestyle, I don't have to worry. Yeah. Like, it's really not. You're not that far from it. So...
yeah, but I love that, man. Like it's, you know, it's good. And like this is relatable to trading too. Like that, no matter how long I've been in this industry, people tend to think that I have some kind of like superhuman ability that other people don't. And it's like every single day I got to work to be. It's almost like if you stop working, the natural course isn't one that you want, right? You got to work so hard every day to continue making the right decisions so you don't fall in those traps. Even with trading, it's the same thing. It's like, if you stop improving yourself, if you stop caring, that the natural course of where you're going is mediocrity. And for some people, you know, that's a goal. For other people, that to me, it's literally a mental prison to have, you know, whatever I want to do, I want to be great at it. I want to help others. I want to shine. But I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, you also kind of mentioned that you're reading a lot of nonfiction books, and in that pre-interview call, you mentioned some of your favorites, or rather, one of your favorite authors was Robert Greene, and that you had kind of you'd also read The Art of War, I believe that's by Sun Tzu. So I'm kind of curious, what kind of inspiration or like, you know, what kind of lessons did you take from those, and how are you applying that in your time while you were locked?
Yeah, definitely one of my favorites. If anybody hasn't read those, like, you're sleeping. You got to go get the world. You'll see the world way different. You'll see just what, like, you'll start recognizing things that happen every day that are happening that those books describe. Definitely. Yeah, Robert Greene, I loved because he wouldn't just give you these laws of power, seduction, or war. He would give you these laws, give you how, like, they've been applied throughout history, and he would give clear examples. Like, he would talk about a way to, like, use rumors about you, and talked about how Napoleon escaped from that island that they imprisoned him on and marched without an army back to the capital. And instead of them, like, sending an army and killing him, the old emperor, like, ran away scared because he didn't know what was coming. But it was like, yeah, like, just riding off of the rumor, just like, you know, like, sell the rumor kind of thing in the market. Yeah. Like, how powerful it is, how powerful perception is. So the same type of things. I forget which book I read. It became one of my strongest practices. It said to always speak, like, minimal. Like, try to find the ways to say the most minimal, and then stand back and wait for everybody else to give you pieces. And then you can have, like, a larger chance of opportunity that it gives you, like, the position. Okay, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Or how do I want to approach this situation? So that, like, things like that, they just, again, I felt like it's nothing but improvement and self. It's educating yourself, self-taught.
Yeah.
It sounds it might have been the art of war. That sounds like a type of concept that they would cover, right? Like,
yeah,
speak less and just use the rest for info.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. Try it. Just like, if the next time somebody says something, like, if they said, hey, where did you go for your vacation? Say, I went here. Like, just name the country. Don't say the city. Cuba. And then they'll start dropping more. Oh, was it this place? And they have this here. And it just continues.
Oh, man, you're going to kill our podcast. Our episodes will be like 6 minutes long if we do.
Just a guess. I love it. Just a guess when we're speaking.
That's good. Do you mind if I ask you, like, can you speak on, like, through those years where, you know, it's obviously rough times that you experience, and I'm very grateful to be talking to you back on the positive side of the tunnel. But,
yeah,
like, could you speak on how you kept yourself, like, motivated during those, like, darkest times? Like, what were your thoughts like? And what was the guiding light at the end of the tunnel to keep you going?
So recently I watched a movie with my wife. It was called Informer, I think. I think it was on Amazon or something. So there's always, you know, there's a fascination with, like, prison, and there's always movies that incorporate prison and all that kind of stuff, right? So a lot of times they're inaccurate or not authentic or whatever, but there were scenes in that movie that were pretty authentic. And when things look really bad and they look hectic, and I was telling her, now she was with me throughout my whole term. I never relayed to her what was happening inside. The same with my family. I kept it all to myself. And it gets hectic. Like if you were in the military, if you were overseas fighting a war. So it gets very stressful. It gets very bleak. A rock in a hard place, you'll find yourself day after day, and it gets tiring. Like, I would wake up to brush my teeth and think, like, am I ever going to make it out of here? Is this, like, like, it doesn't matter if I'm a year away from going home, or 5 years, 4 years, am I going to make it a month through this? But those moments, I would try to just have same thing. They would just be temporary. I would have to regain my focus and tell myself, okay, it feels like a lot of weight when I start thinking of what else might happen, or preparation of, like, all the rumors and what's going to happen, how is everyone going to respond, and how much worse is it going to get, and what if this occurs? And I would have to refocus myself and say, okay, I'm here today. What can I do today? Today is all I have control of. Everything in front of me is all I have control of. So if I have no control of it, if something's happening on the other side of the prison yard, I have no say-so over there, I have no control of it, then I can't worry about it. It is what it is. Whatever's going to happen over here, it is what it is. And I'm just going to have to adapt to it. That's pretty much like what kept me focused to say, I'm going to do day by day just to get home. And then to get home is like the light at the end of the tunnel. I can't even look at that light, because if I look at the light, I'm going to see all the dark on the way over. So focus. What book am I going to read today? What did I want to do today? Something crazy is happening today. Okay, let's get through this today. I even had a moment. I had one cellie. At one point, my cellmate was a lifer, and he had been in prison for 18 years. And I had trouble with like a family member, I think, was in the hospital. And I was unfocused that day. And he helped me get back into focus. And he told me, look, I don't know what's going on with your family on the street. And he said, but if you lose focus here, it's going to be worse for them out there, because they're only going to get a phone call that you're in the hospital, or that you caught more time, or whatever it is. So if you want to help them out there, no matter how bad they're doing or what they're going through, you have to do good in here. You have to be focused. You can't lose it. So that, again, like, regained, okay, focus up, do what I can, and to the best of my abilities just for that day.
That's some of the like most intelligent advice I've ever heard, by the way. Like, that's fantastic, right? To hear from somebody who other people would say, hey, like, I wouldn't have hope in this situation. Like, life, you know, regardless of what happened, you're still dealing with a life sentence, to still have that hope to convey that to somebody. You know, like, I think that's fantastic. And I just want to ask you, like, did you learn that through your hardship, or were you always the personality that would like go day by day? Because I'm also a big fan of personal development. I think if we're not developing, we're just getting worse. Like, you know, in a natural state, the fact is every day we get older, right? We lose potential, et cetera. So we got to work harder and harder to upkeep. So is that something you learned during these trials and tribulations, or did you find that it was more like a personality trait for you?
No, I definitely learned it, through this hardship, through going through this like hell. I mean, I was always driven. I feel like I would focus on what I wanted and I would go for it. But to be able to be more aware of my thoughts and more aware of myself, not to be like unconscious of my goals, because I feel like a lot of times, even myself, I would look back and say, man, if I had this before, I would have gotten even more done. To be consciously like, okay, this is my goal. And am I chipping away at it every day? Like, what did I do today to get towards that? I didn't do anything today. Oh, I got to get back to it tomorrow. Like, you know, the purpose of like making a vision board, like to keep yourself aware of it, of what your goals are. And are you either you're going towards it or you're going away from it?
Yeah. You know, it's like you almost have to be in a situation where you have nothing to really know what's important. You know what I mean? Like, that's the odd part about life, is that a lot of the time, the place that we're in, we may not be happy. It could always be worse. It could always be better. And it's like you almost, through being just, you know, okay with what happens and not thinking in the moment, you're kind of giving up all your potential, right? And I think in your story, you had the opportunity to really sit down and self-reflect. I don't think people ever get that chance, to be honest. Like, not everybody, obviously, but I think it takes some kind of occurrence or event to really make you, like, if you hear a lot of the motivational stories out there, it always started with, you know, this is when my life changed kind of thing. There's always one moment.
Yeah.
And so if there's light at the end of the tunnel for you, like, that's what I see it as. You know, I didn't know you before, but I could tell you you're like, I told you, as soon as I come to LA, I'm buying you like a frick. I'll buy the bar of beers for you.
Yeah. We'll definitely have a good time. Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it was definitely, yeah, that's, I agree. You getting to your bottom really is like, you're going to create the foundation of you. So your build back up is going to be like, you're meticulously building yourself back up to be what you want to be. So yeah, they're blessings in disguise.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things you mentioned, AJ, you know, was we had the chat with the it is what it is, you know, and I think the more important thing that I kind of want to relay back to the audience is that, you know, AJ was mentioning the importance of taking things, you know, one day at a time and focusing on what you can control. And I think there's a synergy here with trading, right? Because with trading, there's a lot of things that you can't control, right? You can't control what the market's going to do, but there are several, you know, there's a bunch of different things that you can control. And I think the important thing to note here is, you know, whatever you're doing in life, it's about focusing on winning that day. And like AJ said, winning that day on a daily basis, that compounds, right? And what I'm trying to get at here is that a lot of the time people focus on, you know, the end road. And I think, you know, AJ, you can speak to this if you have anything to add. But, you know, I would imagine if you were locked up and you were just thinking about, all right, me getting out of here is 7 years away, right? And then every single day thinking about how far away the day that you're going to get released is versus every single day focusing on, you know, improving yourself, getting better, personal development, you know, that kind of having that kind of a thought pattern and that kind of a mindset on a daily basis is what's ultimately going to get you, you know, to where you want to be. And I think, you know, AJ, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I would say that is, like you said, compounding, that those small increments, the day to day is everything, because there's no way that I could have looked towards the end and said, like, okay, I'm getting there. Okay. I would have been depressed halfway through my time. I wouldn't have been able to continue. Like, I don't know if you looked at the full picture, going to school to like get a degree, I mean, you're talking about walking to go pick up, to go turn in college work and getting into riots on the way. Not being able, I had to take classes over because we would be on lockdown and I couldn't submit work. And I'd be at the end of a semester with an A, but then I would get an F and I'd have to take it over. And other people would quit. Like, you know what? I tried school. I'm over it. And again, it's the day to day. Like, I could have looked at it like, okay, why am I going to school right now? Like, why not try at the end of my prison sentence? Or by the time I finish this, I still have 3 years left. And that's 3 years if I don't catch any more time. What if I'm doing all of this and then I catch 10 more years on my last year here? Like, it's always going to be that I'm putting the building blocks. I'm doing today. I added today. I added to today. Like, if it's too much to handle and it's too easy to lose focus if you look at the end. The same thing like you were saying with trading. I'm doing it now and I'm in it and I look at the day to day. Like, okay, I did good today. Okay, cool. That's all I needed. Whatever, you know, is at the end of the year, we'll be there. It's coming regardless. Nobody could stop that.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is, right? You can't control everything. And if you spend all your time focusing on what could be, or, you know, being fearful of what could be, like you mentioned, it's easy to become kind of paralyzed by paralyzed to take action. Because like you alluded to earlier, you know, you mentioned if you were thinking about the end, you know, at the beginning of your sentence, you know, there'd probably be depression. You know, you mentioned that it would be very difficult to have done the things that you did as far as personal development, working on yourself, etc. You know, if you're just thinking in your head, man, you know, it's 6 years and however many days until I'm out. So I think that's a big thing that the audience can take from this, is that, you know, regardless of the situation, you don't have to be staring at, you know, 25 to life to take this advice, right? But what's important is that day to day, right? We had a previous episode on this. It was getting 1% better, you know, just every single day. If you compound that out over a full year, 365 days, it comes out to around 37 times better, right? And so like in this case, you know, 6 years, 37 times better. I can't do the math in my head. I'm not that fast, but it's a pretty big multiple of where you were, right? So I think that's something important to mention. And before we move on, I think Georgie, you got a question here?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw something in. And like AJ, like, you know, this is, I love having this discussion with you. So jump in at any point, but I just want to share one thing because I got a different view in this sense, because a lot of people start something new and they have these goals in their mind, and it's good to have a goal. It's good to have a vision. By no means am I discrediting that, but they focus so much on the end result, and everyone wants the end result today, right? It's like, they don't want to put the work in. They want the end result today. But I think the danger in that is that by just focusing on one outcome, you're ignoring the ones that you do not want, right? So like the outcome where trading doesn't work out, you lose your money, you get into trouble, whatever. And so by focusing on just one single outcome every day and saying, I want this right now, I want it right now, you're losing the now in which you have the ability to change to create that outcome. So it's like we're almost giving up our power just by thinking of, hey, I want this end result at this very moment. And that actually opens up the laneway for the things you don't want to happen. Right? Because the only way to avoid a future you don't want is to be present in the current moment, to be aware. And I think that's one thing that the traders who start this business say, I want to be a $1 million trader today, right? I think they're going to miss the things that are going to prevent them from doing that by just focusing on that unrealistic expectation, right? Because the only place we can make change is in the now. I don't know anyone with a time machine. If I did, they wouldn't sell it to me. I don't have enough money. So it's... So like that's just a viewpoint that I had. I thought I had to share. It just hit me.
Yeah. No, that sounds amazing.
So AJ, I just wanted to get a, you know, you mentioned that you did a lot of personal development. You know, you focus on things one day at a time and really focusing on what you can control. And I'm kind of curious whether, you know, whether there was some sort of routine that kind of helped you in developing and maintaining the mindset. Was there something in specific that you did or specific times? Just kind of curious in general, whether there was a routine and, you know, discuss its role as it relates to helping keeping, rather as it related to keeping you positive while you were doing the time.
Yeah, pretty much I would have like a mental checklist. Like I, you know, I would see things and people that a lot of people like admired, and I would say, well, you know, why do they admire this person? And it would be like, oh, he's incredibly strong or fit or intelligent or articulate or just things like that, right? So because of that, I would say, okay, what things could I tap into? Like nothing's off limits to me. I went in, I was a boxer at that time when I caught my case, but I, you know, doing things like pull-ups and push-ups wasn't part of training that I did. So I was like at the very beginning of that reading. I read every single day. I can't tell you how many books I read, but before that I never read any books. So again, it was like a checklist of, okay, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to give thanks. First off, be grateful. I'm around a lot of examples of, like we said, it could be much worse. I had those examples in front of me, next to me, eating with me. So I'm going to be grateful first off, and then I'm going to start my day positive. So whatever felt positive to me, whether it was writing to somebody that I missed or I wanted to talk to, trying to make a phone call to somebody. If I felt like I wanted to be outside, I'd go work out. Or if I felt like I was curious and or looking for something new, then I would read. So it was just like mentally, again, the being thankful and trying to grow, trying to like move forward. I had a friend ask me at a visit once, what do I miss the most? And I told him, like progress. And he asked me, what do you mean progress? And I said, well, like you know, you're like somewhere. You can get like a bigger house. You buy a new car. You got a promotion at work. Like you're actually seeing progress looking back. Mm-hmm. It's harder for me to see here because I'm in the exact same position, the exact same environment. So that's what I really miss. But I know that I, again, the focus, I got to keep myself on track and say, okay, like, you know, a green day, but you made $50. Like $50 is still an improvement. It's still an improvement. So you're good. It wasn't what you wanted. That's cool. It could be a lot worse. Somebody lost 50 or lost 500 and so forth.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a $50 day until they hit a minus $1,000 day. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, I'll take the 50. I'll take that 50.
When you start and you had a $50, your first trade was only 50, but you close out a big red day. Oh, you remind yourself, man, I should have stopped at that day.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's part of life psychology too. It's like, you know, our human brain is conditioned to process loss at a lot more like deeper level than opportunity, right? Opportunity is one thing, but loss is like safety. And I think that's what trading is. It really messes with because it's a business of loss. It's managing loss professionally. And I think it really messes with people's subconscious mind that way.
Yeah. It's like you brought up, Mark, about the Robert Greene. Mm-hmm. Those books are amazing. I mean, I went to university. I went to Cal Poly for architecture when I came home, and I didn't have a professor who could teach me as much as one of those books could. And trading is very mental. So if anybody is struggling with, you know, how to handle the mental process of anything, just of life, I would recommend reading any of his books because it just helps you gain focus and gives you like more tools pretty much.
Yeah, have an affiliate link because I'm going to buy them all.
I'm kind of curious, you know, there was, you mentioned two important concepts, you know, as far as kind of like the routine that you held. And that was number one, being grateful. And I think that's a huge, huge concept that anybody can, you know, can apply to their own lives, right? Like you mentioned, you were in a position where you were seeing, you know, I don't want to say the worst of the worst, but you were seeing where you could be had things gone a different way. And that was kind of like the trigger for you to be grateful for your own situation. But to some people, you know, they might not have that kind of like face-to-face opportunity to see, you know, oh, I should be grateful for this. And, you know, we had an interesting chat during the pre-interview call. And, you know, when something along the lines of people want what they want, but they're not grateful for what they already have, you know, and until you're grateful for what you have, effectively, you won't really attract more of it. So I think that number one was a big thing, you know, gratitude. We speak on it a lot in this podcast. You know, you got to be grateful. And when you're grateful, you're really attracting the things that you're grateful for into your life by leaps and bounds. And the second big thing was, you know, starting your day off with a positive mindset, right? So like in your situation, you mentioned that whether it was writing somebody, calling somebody, you know, I think that's also something that the audience can take away from this is that, you know, it's kind of like how you start the day is almost the foundation for how the day is going to end. And if you want to really take control of the day and focus on what you can control out of the day, there's no better place to start than from a place of gratitude and a place of positivity. And, you know, kind of further to that point, you know, I don't recall precisely or not, but did you also did you practice meditation when you were locked up?
Yeah, I did. So another one of my favorite books was Anthony Robbins. The first one I read from Anthony Robbins was Awakening the Giant Within. And he talks about the power of like positive thinking and mm-hmm. just how powerful your mind is. He gave examples of like, he said a person with schizophrenia, they had like experiments But that when they switched personalities, their eye color would change. And all the way up to like their DNA could change. Somebody could be diabetic. And then when they switched personalities, they were no longer diabetic. So he was saying, you know, our genetics, our brain, everything that the things that we think we can't control, we actually can just with the power of your thought process. So he would say, you know, you have to be always grateful, and grateful is like putting out the good energy. And when you put that out, it just reciprocates. It just comes back because you're like magnetic for it. So when you're putting out, you know what, I'm going to help people. I'm going to do what I can, if I can, whatever lending hand I can do, then for whatever reason, people are looking to help you. And it's not like you did it looking for your next step. Like, okay, I'm going to help this person because I'm looking to buy a car. So hopefully somebody comes in and can help me buy a car. But just throughout life, things end up going your way and going in your favor. George, we were talking about in our last conversation about Nipsey. And Nipsey is like huge on community. He was huge on helping others and, you know, just being there for each other. He pushed me when I came home to be more involved with the community. I donate, I go volunteer. I always look for opportunities because Nipsey did it. And I came home and told myself, Nipsey's famous. Nipsey's a rapper. If he can find time to go actually volunteer, not just donate, not just buy gifts for kids. If he can buy gifts and be there and pass them out to kids, if he can go cook for people, if he can do these things, like what excuse do I have? I've done that. And my network has like only doubled from coming home. The you just meet more great people, more like-minded people who are doing the same thing, continuing to grow and just on the same page as you.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm mute. I was just saying, like, that's why I'd be afraid if you could, I guess. But I was just saying, like, you know, a lot of corporations and people give with an expectation to receive, right? And it's like, you know, you could tell somebody is giving with an expectation of something. And I think that true giving is like a reward in itself. And there was a quote that I once read that's kind of cool, AJ, is that the fastest way to get something is to give it first. And it's not even with the expectation of giving it that matters. It's the fact, it's the act of doing to help somebody, etc. So I really think in life, because of all this materialistic development, you know, things we could get for cheaper and everyone trying to show a lifestyle or portray something on Instagram, and then kids buying into that vision, I think we've really lost touch with what it really means to give. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone is here, take, etc. And I love that you're doing that. And to be honest with you, like, on the topic of Nipsey, and for the listener, if you guys don't know, Nipsey Hussle is a rap artist that passed away, you know, tragically. I was heartbroken when I heard it that day.
Yeah,
he actually inspired the initiative for TradePro to go out there and do financial literacy projects for like underprivileged youth. There's no real good term to describe the kids that benefit from this. You know what I mean? It's like politically correct. It's just kids who are in a bad environment, in a bad neighborhood. And we started a program that was actually powered by his motivation. So it's like, it's amazing what a wave you can create. You know what I mean? I was heartbroken, man, that day. Like, it honestly took me like 3 weeks. I felt like one of my friends passed away. Like, I really, really was inspired by him at his story. So it's cool that you mentioned that.
Man, that's awesome, George. That's awesome. I had no idea you guys did that. Yeah, people will be like, for Christmas, we go to the projects in Watts. And then, like, I'm all over LA. I've never been to these projects. These are not like, you don't want to hit that turn and end up there. Yeah. But all that aside, because I'm like, no, I'm going there to pass out toys and food for kids. And I went once and I said, man, I'm coming to this as much as I can. And then from then it just snowballed, like whatever I can do. And again, like you said, I don't know if it's like it just turns into wildfire. Like, I got it from Nipsey. You got it from Nipsey. And then anybody who knows us sees us, and then they're doing their part. And like you said, it's just, It's really amazing. That's great you guys do that.
I don't know. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I don't know about your spiritual journey, et cetera. We didn't really cover that, but I could almost prove it without fact that giving and helping other people channels some like incredible universal energy. Like the moments I've given, you know, the moments where I had nothing and I've given. And through my travels, I've been to places that are less fortunate than what we have in Western culture. They were some of the most giving people there ever is. And I just think like, through giving without any conditions is how we really like tap into that universal, like it's rocket fuel, you know what I mean? And we just try to look for more ways to give. So yeah, I just on that topic, I thought I'd mention that. It really connects me to a higher power of sorts. You could call that whatever it is through the act of giving. It's like a miracle, to be honest with you.
It is. And like what you were saying, Mark, early on, that being grateful is huge. Just being appreciative of our start or our today, like our previous conversation when I was saying, you know, I'm in the red right now in my trading journey, but I'm not discouraged. I'm not upset about it because even starting, I appreciated that I have this like disposable income. I have extra money that I can work with to invest and try to, you know, increase this side hustle that I'm doing. When I know people at this, you know, today and the situation that we're all in, they're struggling to make their rent. You know, a flat tire will put them in the red. Yeah. When I'm over here playing with money, trying to have a green day and trying to have a better green day, you got to be grateful. You have to be understand that, okay, I made $50 today, man, that's great. Like somebody who's not trading lost $1,000, you know, somebody's engine blew out or something, and there's no way to get it back for them.
I love that train of thought, man. If I don't care where you are in your journey, if it's been net red so far or not, but knowing your personality, what you've been through, your mindset through it, if you're a stock, I'd be buying shares every dip, brother. I'd be buying options on you, call options out of the money far out, you know, this, give this guy a chance. He's going to do it. It's just about time at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. I feel the same way. And I early on I was, I did really well and then I gave it back because I just got too ahead of myself. So I 100% know what can come of it because I saw it for myself already. So it's all coming. I'm not worried about it. Like Nipsey's mentality. It's a marathon. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah. Man, I just got my marathon clothing like a few months ago. And with COVID, I gained some weight. And like, I bought it, I have the receipt. I bought it like about a week before he passed. And then I'm like, oh man, I'm not going to get this stuff for a long time. I just received it a few months ago. And with this COVID weight, it doesn't fit anymore. It sucks because it's like, it's a collector's item.
Yeah. You're good. Don't let it go. You're good. Yeah. Don't let it go.
No, I'll just one day at a time. It is what it is, baby. I'll get back to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is what it is. That's the goal now.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a quick question because you mentioned something interesting during the trading. Were you surprised by how emotional of a business this was? Like your expectation going into it and then reality? Like did it catch your voice? Yeah.
Yeah, big time. I had no talks with I have a group of friends and we've all started this together. And we've told each other, I didn't know that I could be so greedy at times. Like I didn't know that I could be up on a trade and not cash out and then watch it go lower than what it was and then cash out and be like, what were you doing? But if you talk to somebody who hasn't experienced it or isn't trading, they would tell you like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Why don't you just do this? And I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. Until you're in that moment.
In theory, right?
Yeah.
In theory, until you have skin in the game.
Yeah.
And so
until you're in that moment.
Exactly, right? And I kind of want to backtrack to, you know, one of the things you mentioned was, I guess kind of like a guiding light as far as a quote that you took from Nipsey. And I kind of wrote it down here and it was, it doesn't matter the obstacle, we will not be the side that crumbles. Right. And we also kind of discussed, you know, the victim mentality, you know, because like you mentioned in the situation that you were in, you know, it's very easy to say, you know, I'm the victim and the world is against me. But the way that you kind of approached it was that of, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to be the side that crumbles, and I'm going to be the, you know, I'm not going to lose no matter what. Right. So we're going to kind of shift this to, you know, the lighter days now, this part here. So at this point, you've gone out. All right. You've gone out from prison, and you mentioned that you took over your father's construction business, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, during the call, you mentioned you didn't really have any experience with any of that stuff. And as intimidating as it can be, you know, taking over the business, you came in with the mindset that it's going to work out no matter what. All right. And can you kind of speak on how you got introduced to trading and how you've been able to apply that similar mindset into what you're doing now as a trader?
Yeah, definitely. So the way that I took over my father's business, he had a stroke. And so just like my situation with me going away, it was from one day to the next. So from one day to the next, it was, okay, nobody can run the company now. You have to do it. And my father's company isn't just like a small production company. He's had it for 25 years. And his work is at universities, airports, like it's weekly meetings with engineers, architects, and the customers of these universities and stuff. So at that moment, it was either we close the company or I pick it up and it can't fail. So that's what I did. It was, I'm not going to let this fail. If I have to stay up all night studying blueprints, figuring out codes or procedures, what I would have to do, then mm-hmm. that's what I was going to do to make it work. Like I can't let it fail. So I applied the same thought process to that, got that running. Now I run my father's company. And then the pandemic hit. This is like 2 years later now. The pandemic hit, and luckily for us, our industry hasn't slowed down, but I saw the market and that this was like an opportunity for me to get involved. I had friends that were starting to get involved. So the same process, I said, okay, if I go into this, I don't really have the time to be like other people who go in to buy like a franchise or something like that sort as an investment opportunity. So I was like, okay, this sounds more in my lane. I could study. I'm good with mathematics. I like to read, so I can familiarize myself with a bunch of companies. And once I got started, I love it. I love all the information that comes out. I love all the tickers and alerts, but I just won't lose. Like, I'm in the red, my friends, my wife, she knows, I tell her, but I have no worry about it because I know that I'm going to put in the work to make it happen. I'm going to put in the hours, the time, and the focus that I need to do to make it happen. And I've talked to other people who've said like, oh yeah, I blew up 3 accounts. And they're very successful now, you know, as traders. And they told me, oh, I blew up 3 accounts. I had no money 3 different times. And then I got it to work. And those are the kind of the stories like with Nipsey, where he started his career and then he went to jail. And he came out, had to start all over again. And then his brother went to jail. Then he had to start all over again. And then they lost a bunch of money. And then he got signed to a label, then that label closed. Like it was speed bump after speed bump. But at any of those speed bumps, somebody could have felt like, okay, this just isn't for me. And if you stop, then yeah, it isn't for you. But if you continue to go, like you can keep going. It's all mental.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it just kind of leads gives credence to what you mentioned as far as taking it day by day, right? Because I can also imagine in Nipsey's case, you know, if you're looking at it, I think in the call we mentioned, I think you mentioned that he leased a prop or a studio, and then the ownership changed, and then he basically ate that loss. And still kind of went through and got it done. But the importance of that was, you know, if you just look at it at the face value, you know, I think in his case, it was being down like, what was it, 180 grand or something like that?
Yeah, 180,000.
And yeah, and you know, for any, he's an independent artist. He was an independent artist too, right? So it's, you don't have the label's backing. So that's money out of your own pocket that gone, right? And you could easily sit there and be like, you know what, everything's against me. This isn't going to work out. Or you can be like, you know, I'm in it to win it, and it doesn't matter what happens. I'm gonna, you know, take one step forward, focus on what I can control, and try to win the day every single day. And I think that's a huge nugget of value that the audience is gonna take.
The sentence that you said there, AJ, that you phrased from Nips, where you said, "No matter what happens, we will not crumble." Like, that doesn't strike me as something you say for fun, or like something that, you know, it's something that is an identity. It's like you go into life with that identity, and like, no matter what happens, I will not be the person that crumbles. You know what I mean? Like, if you have that identity, think about the beliefs, the values, the actions that creates. And like, that's the one thing I was most impressed with. I know we're interviewing you, you here and not Nips, but I think we kind of find this as a commonality and as an inspirational approach. And I think more traders, if they started this industry with that approach, rather than thinking, I'm going to have a Lambo next week and following the people who show off materialistic things, it's more important to have the attitude that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to push through. Because at the end of the day, a lot of things will come your way in trading. Like, that when I started trading, there's challenges I thought I never would have. I thought my biggest challenge would be how I'm going to spend my money. You know what I mean? But it's like, then there comes the reality of it. And so if you have a mentality where you quit at the first chance of any adversity, this ain't the business for you. And we have no problem saying that in trading. You know, it's going to be longer and a more harder journey. But the biggest skill that you could have to make it through is that mentality right there. You know what I mean? And you have it 100%, AJ. Onward and upward from here. You know,
yeah,
I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you.
Awesome. So AJ, you know, you mentioned that you started trading about a year ago, and you've got a little bit of, you know, now you got skin in the game, you've got that experience. And I'm kind of curious, you kind of alluded over this already, but how much of a role now that, you know, you've started trading, how much of a role would you think, you know, mindset versus actual, you know, the thing that people think you need to have, you know, strategy. I guess mainly it's like where to get in and where to get out. How much of a role does mindset play versus, you know, having strategies?
Oh, it's all mental. It's all your mindset. It's, I look back at my biggest losses, and it was when I had the wrong mentality. When, like we mentioned at the beginning, following your gut, when I knew that this needs to be the point that I cut my loss, like, okay, it's a loss, but it doesn't break you. It's just a loss. But me refusing to accept that loss costing me much more than it would have cost me. And that loss would have been minor. I could have bounced back from that the following day, but instead holding on and refusing to just to accept that is what hurt me. So again, that it was the mentality. It was the mental end.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we mention this all the time on this podcast as well. It's, I mean, that's the whole reason this podcast is around, you know, for the audience, is psychology and mindset, you know, despite what you see on social media, you know, the strategies, the, you know, the Instagram pictures showing you top tick entry and catching the low tick, you know, that's all fine, but that's not the reality of the things. And like AJ mentioned, a majority of what it takes to be successful isn't strategy. You can learn strategy. Strategy is not the important thing. We can even give you a strategy. What's most important is the mindset and the psychology, because if that's not in place, if you don't have, excuse the analogy, if you don't have your screws in place, you know, it doesn't matter what strategy you're trading, you're not going to do anything out of that. So you know, AJ, I appreciate you sharing obviously your story and your experiences. And I'll open the floor here if you have any final thoughts for the audience. You know, not everybody, I mean, there's very few people that I can imagine that have been in the same situation as you and have, you know, have used it more so, has used it more so as an opportunity than anything else, right? Because in the pre-interview call, you mentioned a lot of people, they can, when they get out, you know, they kind of stay in that victim mentality. But on the other hand, in your situation, you've kind of used it as an opportunity and you actually came out as a more developed person than what you went in as. So curious if you have any final thoughts, you know, now that you've got some experience with trading, any insight you can kind of share with the audience?
Pretty much, I would just say to anybody who's listening to your guys' podcast to just stay positive and stay driven. We're all going to go through difficult times, especially, so, you know, the market is not an exception. Things that are all lined up and should go well, you know, things aren't going to work out. And everything's temporary. Everything is temporary. So if you just realize that this is only temporary, and what can I do with myself today? What can I do to make myself better, to make myself stronger, and keep your focus? Then you'll be all good. I mentioned earlier that through reading and studying, I learned like not to move unconsciously, like through the world or just through my life. What that means is like, you know what you're doing. If you, for example, made a goal, oh, I want to make 50,000 this year. What's the purpose of that? Like, why do you want to make 50,000? Did you just want to see 50,000 in a bank account? Because if you reach that point, nothing in your life is going to feel better. You're not going to feel accomplished because you knocked out that goal. Having a purpose for things, like I want to make 50,000 because I want to buy a house for my family, and that's, you know, the foundation for my family to live comfortable, and I'll feel like successful that now we have somewhere that we're comfortable and we can continue to live and grow. Then you have purpose. Then when you're moving towards it, like it's all going to come together, just being positive and having that. But just having random things. I mean, I've worked with, like I said, celebrities, and my friends are, I could go through my phone and have millionaire after millionaire in my phone. But these friends, they struggle with the same type of things. You know, they own a business and they end up shutting it down because they are like, you know, I was making a lot of money, but I didn't really care for it. And I was stressed out all the time. Like, I didn't get to see my family, or it's not really what they wanted to do. So having purpose, staying driven, and just focused up, I was written off. I shouldn't have ever came home. And they said if I came home, I'd be like handicapped. I'd be strung out on drugs. Working at McDonald's would be like, I'd be in the Olympics. Like, that would be the best outcome for me, you know? Like, everyone's like, no, they're like, that will be the best. You can't get past this. This is what you have to look forward to if you come home. I had correctional officers tell me, oh, you're in here, this and that. And I would tell them, I feel bad for you. I'm here temporary. I'm here for a few years. You're here for life. You work here. Like, where are you going? This is it for you. Yeah. So I'll be like, nah, man, this is temporary. And I'll be out of here. I'll have my day. And then my day came, and I used to pray at night, and I would say, I wouldn't pray for things. My prayers would be, just give me the opportunity. I would tell God, let me get home, get me home, and give me the opportunity. And all I wanted was get me home. I said, give me the opportunity to be home, and I'll do the rest. I'll manifest anything else out of it. I just need to be home. That's it.
Amen, bro. Like, we just end it right here. And in fact, you know what? We are. I think that's a really good way to wrap things up. And I know that I could hear the family life in the background, you know, calling the name. And that's the most precious time you could spend is with the family. So I want to thank you. You know, look, I laughed at that analogy for McDonald's because it was a funny kind of analogy that you used. But, you know, in all laughing matters stuff aside, like it's been a rough journey and you've seen the light. And I'm so happy to hear it. And some point in the future, I'd love if there's an opportunity for us to discuss how do we make this business a transition for other people in your situation that come out and don't have any, you know, prospects. They know how to hustle because that's how they ended up in there, but they're just not applying it to the right avenue, right? And I think there's opportunity there to give back in so many ways. But I just want to thank you for, you know, number one, for being brave enough to share the story and inspire other people. And number two, it seems like you took a situation and ran with it and you turned it into something that, you know, people who are at home thinking that they have challenges, you know, we all have our challenges, but it could always be so much worse. And I know you feel the same way, even having gone through your situation. So at the end of the day, I thank you for sharing it, for inspiring people, for relating it to trading, and just for taking the time to talk to us about this. And I wish you the best. I know you're going to kill it. We're going to stay in touch. And yeah, man, I have no doubt when we have you on again the second time, it's going to be like just you've killed it trading. And then we're just going to pick up and keep going from there.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. I love what you guys are doing. And we'll definitely do that, George. I got organizations that I work with for people who have come home and are doing good things. So definitely.
Love that, man. I think this business has the ability to really empower people, not just the one. We all think it's like a white collar type of thing where you got to be smart. And the reality is blue collar hustle tends to get you further in this business than any kind of knowledge you'll have. And so I'd love to carry the conversation forward. But again, yeah, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate the chat. I could talk to you for like 12 hours, but I'm going to have to cut it here out of respect to time. But yeah, appreciate you, bro. Love, joy, and happiness to you and your family. And thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And thanks for jumping on, AJ. Appreciate you. And just like Georgie said, you know, I can't wait to do the second follow-up episode and seeing you in deep, deep green because that's where the mindset is. So it's only a matter of time until, you know, the reality is going to match up, align with what's, you know, what you're already visualizing and putting out there in your head. So keep at it. We'll keep in touch. And again, thank you so much for taking the time. You know, love, joy, and happiness out to you and your family.
AJ, are you still with Crooks and Castles, if you don't mind me asking?
My friends actually just this year, they sold the company. So this is the first year that we've sold it. So, okay, so no longer. No.
Okay, I was going to tell the audience to go up there and get a shirt and say, I'm buying this in support of AJ. But never mind. We'll find other.
Yeah, they're good.
We'll find other ways. Awesome. Appreciate it, man. Take care. Thanks again. And I look forward to the second episode we do later on in the future.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.